Hey guys, Trevor here with E-commerce Paradise, back in lesson number 2 of the What is Dropshipping mini course. In this video, I'm going to talk about the supply chain and the fulfillment process. So that's what dropshipping is all about. It's a fulfillment process. It's a method of moving merchandise from the supplier's warehouse directly to your customer. So you don't have to receive it and reship it out. You don't have to do anything as far as packaging or, anything with packaging goes, anything with shipping goes, it goes directly to the customer. Like I said in the first video, there are some shipping complexities you have to deal with when it comes to larger items, depending on the supplier. But in this video, my goal is to give you an overview of what the whole supply chain looks like with any model of retail online. So the supply chain is basically moving products from the raw materials to an end product and the end consumer using that. The three main parts are the manufacturers, wholesalers, and retailers. Now, with that said, this business model is all about sustainability, right? And if you are going to make a sustainable business, you're going to need higher margins. So going through wholesalers is not going to get you high enough margins to make a sustainable business. It is a way to scale in a sense if you've maxed out all the different manufacturers you can get accounts with. Wholesalers may be the only route to go. And in certain industries, some manufacturers really only sell through wholesalers because they have so much volume. So you just have to be mindful of that. With wholesalers, they're going to take at least half that margin away from you. So if the manufacturer gives 50%, wholesaler is going to take somewhere between 25 all the way up to 40% of that sometimes and leave you with as little as 5 or 10% gross margin, which is not even enough to pay for marketing, you know? And after you've already offered any kind of sales coupons to customers, you can pretty much count that as depleted profit, as a break even or a loss. So that's why I only suggest to do work with manufacturers, to actually get accounts directly with the brands that create the products. Because often these brands will have fulfillment centers and they'll actually ship the products themselves to the customer. So that's the best thing you can hope for. And so let's just go into each of these and kind of talk about their specific business models more. A manufacturer isn't necessarily the company that turns the raw goods into consumable products. It's interesting, but the way it works is most products are made overseas nowadays. That's not to say all products are. Some are still made in the US, but most are. And so that means China, Vietnam, even places like, well, Japan, Taiwan, Korea, big manufacturing countries, right? And the list goes on and on. Of course, Europe is really big too. Germany is huge. Belgium is huge. There's lots of manufacturing companies. Obviously, the US has exports as well. But a big percentage of the exports come from China. And we'll just start there as a starting point. So basically what happens is you have raw goods. And depending on what the product is, those raw goods are brought into the factory that processes the raw goods into parts that can be put together for the product. So let's just say you're making a couch. So couches require certain wood parts, they require certain fabric parts, they require certain metal parts. So wood, fabric, and metal has to all be produced somewhere and brought in to that factory in China. And then that factory in China will actually put those products together in a way that makes a finished product. They'll then package it up and box it up and crate it up, whatever they need to do. And depending on how many the manufacturer in the US orders, they will take that product and put it onto a shipment container, which can be somewhere between 20 to 40 feet. And then that container will be put on a big cargo ship and then shipped overseas all the way across the Pacific Ocean, usually landing in the port of Long Beach in California, or, you know, in the port of Tacoma in Washington, or any other port that's, you know, accessible. Like San Francisco has a big one too. So with that said, understanding that is actually the first thing that happens is really important because as far as warranty goes, a lot of the manufacturers that you deal with in the US are going to actually be reaching back out to their Chinese manufacturer to get that credit for that product. So understanding that, like, when you have a warranty issue later on in your store, you always be needing to get pictures of the damages that happened or whatever so that the manufacturer in the US can send it to the manufacturer in China and get credit for it. But that's kind of off on a tangent. So I'll just continue with what a manufacturer is and what they do. Sometimes these days, a lot of this is happening. Actually, the manufacturer in the US is a sub company of that manufacturer in China. So I see this a lot happening, where you have all these brands popping up, and in some industries it's more prevalent than others, especially young industries. And you'll see these brands actually selling those products themselves to the consumer, and they don't offer drop shipping because they want to control the whole process. Well, it turns out some of these companies actually are owned by the actual manufacturer in China. Excuse me. So if you can understand that, it's actually kind of cool that, you know, a lot of Chinese manufacturers are doing that. They're actually setting up the companies themselves. It saves them costs. But for us, they understand that it's really good to work with dropshippers that are e-commerce store owners that work online only, because we're marketers. And it's very expensive to do marketing in-house. So hiring a marketer can cost a lot of money, whereas if they have us set up a dealer account, like we're a regular physical mortar, brick and mortar store, but actually just ship those products for us when we get orders, it can be very cost effective for them to do marketing that way. They don't have to pay for any of the advertising costs. We're covering that out of the percentage that they give us. So it's very straightforward for them. So that's why they like us. So moving on to wholesalers. The wholesaler is kind of what we do, you know, and it's sort of wholesale to the public in a sense. It's offering products at the minimum advertised price that the supplier sets. So it's not MSRP is up here, manufacturer suggested retail price. You always see that on products when you go shopping in the grocery store or in the department stores, MSRP or retail price. But MAP, minimum advertised price, is this price that's the lowest price that they'll allow you to sell online, right? And people love that price because it's kind of like a wholesale price. It's like a discounted price. It's really cool. So wholesalers will sell at that price. But in some industries, wholesalers are wholesale to the trade only. One instance of that is in the security industry. There's a lot of wholesalers. And I know this because I used to work for one of those wholesalers. That's actually the first major job I had in life, was being a warehouse guy and a sales guy at a security product distribution company who was wholesale to the trade only. And they had 5 branches in the US, and it was huge. And there's bigger companies than that. They were actually the smaller company in their market. There was one with like 30 branches in the US. And it just goes to show the security industry has a ton of brands and a ton of really specific products, and they need wholesalers and distribution companies to actually stock those products so they're readily available to be shipped out or even picked up in person, because when somebody has a security issue, they need it fixed right then and there. So that's a good instance of where there's wholesalers a lot. And wholesalers can raise or lower margins depending on the account and stuff like that. So if you happen to be dropshipping in an industry that has a lot of wholesalers, or you decide to get set up with one, just understand that those rates are negotiable. If you plan on doing a lot of sales with their products, you can tell them that and ask for a discount up front. They may not be willing to give it to you or whatever, but later on you can say, hey, I've done this many sales, can I get a 10% discount more off every order that I get, plus free shipping or something like that. You know, we used to have people that would call us all the time and ask for that kind of stuff, and the manager would give it to them because it would basically ensure that they were going to come to us instead of the competition. But again, that's another tangent. Wholesalers are just generally speaking stocking distributors. And we are in a sense wholesale to the public, but we are not stocking distributors. And we sell usually to end users. You can do e-commerce business to business. That's very popular. In fact, I do suggest always setting up a business to business arm of your e-commerce store and like a funnel for those business owners to get discounts, because they probably will order over and over and over again from you. But the key is that retailers are really what we are. We are people, businesses that are selling products directly to the public at a markup, right? And so just understand your role in the supply chain being the retailer, that you are not stocking anything, and that you should only want to get accounts with actual brands manufacturers. Don't go for those wholesalers, because the margin just isn't there. It might be something you, like I said, you can go into later when you want to scale your business, but when you're getting started, it just doesn't make sense. All right, now I want to move on to the next section of this video, talking about what our role is. Now, we're retailers, but what is it that we really do? Or what is our unique selling proposition? And this is something that you're going to have to build out into your website all over the place, is talk about your unique selling proposition. I mean, these things can be, you know, things that you offer the customer, like free shipping, free returns, you know, fast delivery, things like that. And that's really important. But understanding your role is important. Really, drop shipping is marketing. One, first, it's all about marketing. You as a drop shipper, as an e-commerce store owner, need to be an experienced internet marketer, e-commerce marketer. So that comes into play when you're pitching yourself to recruit new suppliers, is they're going to ask you, hey, what's your experience like? Are you more like of a niche guy or are you more of a marketing guy? And I'll tell you right now, the one answer that's always going to get you accounts is I'm a marketing guy or gal, right? If you're a woman. And for women, this is becoming super popular, by the way. If you're a woman watching this, I mean, just know that there are a ton of women entrepreneurs getting into this game right now. And suppliers love working with women because they're just generally speaking nicer and easier to get along with. Just want to throw that out there. As far as how we run our businesses, though, it's really important that you understand customer service is key. And you always want to have in mind the best customer service possible. So if you've never experienced really good customer service from a company before, I would suggest going out there and submitting all sorts of inquiries to random e-commerce sites like Amazon, eBay, Home Depot, Wayfair, Lowe's, any of these big, big e-commerce sites. Submit inquiries. Go to their contact us page and ask them a question about a product, or ask them a question if you order something from them, ask them a question about that order. And see what their responses are like and sort of study them. You've all bought things online, so I'm sure you can think back to an email you got where you were really blown away by the customer service. One such company that's known for really good customer service is Zappos, zappos.com. And definitely go to their website and sign up for their email list and submit an inquiry, a pre-sales inquiry, and then buy a pair of shoes from them for like $50 and ask them about it, you know, and send them all sorts of questions or whatever. It'll amaze you at how good their customer service is. So my point is that you want to model good customer service. You want that to be a part of your business model. So get out there, do that, understand it, study it, and take that in as something that you're always going to be talking about and pitching to your suppliers, and just do it. You know, always be offering great customer service. All right, so the next section of this understanding the fulfillment process of dropshipping is how the order process works. I know this is a big question everybody has, but how does the order process work? It's important. So here's an example. You put products on your website, you put them into the ads, you send paid traffic to those product listings using the methods that I talk about in my courses, and you'll get an order. So when that customer places your order, their order with you, you'll take that order and send it to the supplier. So it's really simple. And showing the methods again that I'll show you in the main course when you go ahead and sign up for that, is that you'll be taking that order and sending it to the supplier really clearly in a purchase order format. And that supplier will then take that purchase order, create a sales order on their end for you because you are their customer. And they're going to send you that sales order. They may ask you to approve it, they may not. And then you can take that sales order and put it back into your order in the way that I show you in the course. It's really easy. And you'll have then a track of your invoices and how much things cost and your cost of goods sold. And then, of course, you can do other things at that point too, which I show you how to set that all that stuff up in the course, because it's really important that every time you get something that you create processes for how to handle them. But basically, you'll have the invoice, and within usually 24 to 48 hours, or depending on the supplier or the product, they'll ship out that product to your customer. And you'll get a tracking number, and then you can go ahead and send that tracking number to them using Shopify, which is the e-commerce platform that I talk about in the course a lot. Shopify, by the way, is the only e-commerce platform I use now. It's just super easy to use, and it's really fun, and definitely makes everything flow really smoothly. All right, so once the order's been shipped and the customer has received notification that it's been shipped, hopefully it arrives within a few days, depending. Can arrive up to 6 or 7 days later, because shipping from the East Coast to the West Coast, for instance, takes like 6 or 7 days. But the customer will, of course, receive their shipment, hopefully, unless there's an exception, in which case I show you apps you can set up to automatically get notified, and then that you have a process in place to make sure that that gets taken care of, right? So once that product has been received, hopefully, the customer checks it, make sure everything is there. If something's missing, then you just have to call the supplier and ask them to reship that thing out and ask the customer to take a picture of it. Excuse me, my eye kind of itched right there. and that's about it. So there you go. End of the day, then you can follow up with the customer and ask them for a review of the product that they purchased and review of your store and your services. And I show you apps and automation systems you can set up to get that done automatically as well. So just to wrap up this whole video about the fulfillment process, is that truly the supplier is invisible to the customer when you think about it. They're drop shipping. So the customer doesn't think they're getting a product directly from the supplier unless they're already familiar with it, and most people aren't. So just understand that. And when you're talking to a customer, use the terms like our warehouse did this or our warehouse has this, that kind of a thing. I have to call my warehouse and check inventory. I have to call my warehouse and get that product shipped out to you, that kind of a thing. Because truly they are your warehouse. It's a location of yours. You can talk about that warehouse location in your about page as one of your warehouse locations. Suppliers don't mind that, and it looks great to your customer base. It makes you look like a bigger company, more professional company, and it will increase your conversion rates. So definitely do that. And just understand that you shouldn't ever be blaming anything that happens bad on your supplier. That just take responsibility for it. Our warehouse made this mistake, and we apologize. We're working on it. You know, we're speaking with the warehouse manager to get things figured out. Things like that. It's really important. It makes you look like a bigger business. Makes you look more professional. And that's it, guys. That's a fulfillment method. That's how dropshipping works. I hope that made sense to you. And like I said, if you have instant access to this course already because you bought it, go ahead and proceed to the next video. If you have to wait till the next day, it's perfectly fine. I hope you took notes, and you can check out some of the other free videos on my YouTube channel. And if you're ready to get started, you can go check out that Niche Hacks course on the eCommerce Paradise Academy website. And we'll see you guys on the next video.